Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We are back live here at Radio Row in San Francisco, and our next guest is very familiar with San Francisco because one of the original members of the 49ers teams that really... under Bill Walsh became the 49ers that we knew for the longest time. And Jim Stuckey joins us. I think...
A svelte.
Yeah.
A svelte.
Yeah. Very sharp-looking Jim Stuckey today. I think one of my favorite things about your career is you might have had the second most famous play in a game, and very few people remember it because of the one that came after with Dwight Clark's catch.
Yeah, well, the one that came, Dwight's catch, the catch, in the NFC Championship game, took us to new heights and started our 49er dynasty throughout the 80s. And I was telling someone it's the most exciting game I ever played. We won 28-27, beating the Dallas Cowboys. But most people, after Dwight made that catch, there was still 51 seconds left. We had to kick off to them, and all of a sudden, Danny White throws his pass to Drew Pearson over the middle, and he's off to the races. And it wasn't for Eric Wright, our defensive back, who ran him down and caught him by the shoulder pads on the 30-yard line. We might not have been there. But
the catch wouldn't have mattered.
No, the catch would not have mattered. The catch might not have been the catch if we didn't run a game inside. I'm a defensive end, so ran a game with Lawrence Pillars where he shoots the gap between the center and the guard, and I loop around behind him. And Lawrence jarred the ball loose from Danny White, and I jumped on the ball, recovered the fumble, and the rest is history, and we were off to the races.
How much fun was that for you being out here to see that build into the dynasty that it became? And at what part did you kind of figure out that, we could do this for a long time?
Well, you know what? I don't think it was until that year. Because we had gone 6-10 the year before, and our first year, 81, when we went, we went from 6-10 in 1980 to 13-3. So we did it with a lot of third, second, and first year guys. Joe Montana was only a third year quarterback, Dwight Clark, and then we had Freddie Solomon back then. But I was in my second year, and we had. These rookies in our defensive backfield, we were starting three rookies, a guy named Ronnie Lott, a guy
Pretty
named
good.
Eric Wright, and another guy, Carlton Williamson, with a third-year guy at safety, and Dwight Hicks. So, I mean, everybody forgot to tell us that we were not supposed to be good. And then we had this coach, Bill Walsh, who started this thing called the West Coast Offense that took everybody else about another 10 years to figure out. So... we went through the 80s, winning quite a few Super Bowls and competing, and they drafted good.
Jim Stuckey, our guest, said you were saying you still live in South Carolina now. You're back over there. How exciting was that for you to see Clemson get to the national championship this year, and how excited are you for that team next year?
Oh, my gosh, I tell you, Clemson they played so good. I was so proud to see how they play, because we lost a lot of guys on offense and defense that went to the NFL last year. And we've got this real special guy named Deshaun Watson at quarterback. And I know Houston's always looking for a quarterback. So if you ever, Mr. McNair, you can listen to me. You know we know each other. If you ever get a chance, you ought to go with this guy. He is the real deal, Deshaun Watson. He is a leader, not only multi-talented on the field, but a better person and a better representative of college sports off the field. So we're looking for big things. I think Clemson and the early picks are still picked. We picked preseason number one this year. So we were a couple plays away from being the national champion. Alabama played great. They had the best. That was the best onside kick, Coach Saban, I've ever seen in from the blue team in Little League all the way up to being with the 49ers and retiring at 30.
Jim Stuckey, our guest, said, did you, as a Clemson fan, do you like the college football playoff? You think that's worked out?
Yeah. You know what? And I'm okay with it. Even if I've thought about it, being on the outside, just the four teams, you start getting guys beat up and everything, these college kids, if they're not used to those long schedules. And if you put four more teams in there and everything, I think it just gets way, way too long. I would have liked to see some of the bowl games switched around. I thought it was very, very anticlimactic. I was down in Miami watching Clemson and Oklahoma play to see who went to the national championship. And then you've got you grow up watching the New Year's Day games, and I don't think there's anything we can do about it, but I absolutely loved just the four teams. I'm all right with it.
Jim Stuckey is our guest, and you were a pretty big guy when you played, and looking fit and trim here.
Yeah.
Tell us how you did that.
Well, I did it with Nutrisystem, and I'm out here again, out to the Bay Area where I used to live, and myself and Dan Marino, and I helped get Dan on Nutrisystem about 9 years ago.
Was Dan getting fat?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, but I was one apple pie short of 300 pounds,
okay.
So
right.
He wasn't fat like me. No, he might have weighed, right around 240-something. But I lost 60 pounds in 8 weeks.
Good for
and
you.
It was a great program, Nutrisystem. They were the first diet company to come out with a men's program, and you make it easy. I'm an itinerary guy. I've got to have something to where I know what I'm going to eat for breakfast, lunch, supper, snacks, and dinner, and they give it all to you. So it's a diet for people that want an itinerary. The bottom line is it works. And the reason Dan and I come out every year, too, is Super Bowl Sunday, but we've got Super Monday. And I did not know this till a couple years ago that Monday is the biggest diet decision day for men in America. So, I mean, they put on 10, 15 pounds throughout the football season. Football season's over. So I'm out to spread the word, get back in the game. Go to Nutrisystem.com and try it. It works.
All right, Jim, real quickly, how exciting is it for you to be back in the Bay Area where you had so much success and to see the Super Bowl here in San Francisco? And kind of contrast that with what's going on across the bay with the Raiders. How do you think that's going to play out, and how much fun is it being back here in San Francisco?
Oh, I tell you, I'll be out here all week, and I lived here 10 years, and I got out here Monday. It's so good to see the guys again. I miss the guys, living in Charleston, South Carolina now. But the 49ers, I mean, we've got to get back on track. By God, we are the 49ers. And we got too many damn Super Bowl trophies sitting in our cases down there. So we got to figure this out. The Raiders, whether they're going to back to Los Angeles or trying to figure out what's going on. I think they've made great progress as a team on the field this past year.
I do too.
I think they took the biggest steps I've seen them take in probably 10 years at least. So I think. You know, I played against the Raiders back in the 80s when the Raiders were the Raiders.
The Raiders.
And, I mean, they were scary. I mean, they would beat you up physically. So, anyway.
All right, that's Jim Stuckey, member of the 49ers, two-time winning suit. You got that ring on there, don't
I got
you?
Two
oh,
rings.
You got
them
both.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
Yeah,
those
you got
nice.
The double ring.
We really appreciate the time. And
yeah.
And keep up with that Nutrisystem, man. That obviously worked for you.
Yeah, it does, and it's good. But I appreciate it, guys. Mr. McNair, wish you all the best down there, sir, and Houston, and y'all get back on those winning ways.
Needs a quarterback.
Well.
Yep. All right, that's Jim Stuckey. And we've got more guests coming, so stay tuned with us. Wade Smith coming up next. Speaking of
former Texan.
Former Texan, yeah. Yeah, and... we're also scheduled to have Terrence Williams today as well. So tomorrow, full day. And stick around. We got a lot more to go today. It's Red Power, A.J. Hawk.
Live from Radio. Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back here at Radio Row in San Francisco, and the guests keep on coming. And our next guest is a former New York Jet, former Kansas City Chief, Miami Dolphin, Houston Texan, and then briefly Seattle and Philadelphia in 2014. Offensive lineman Wade Smith joins us. And as soon as we get sorted out whatever we're handing out here, we'll get right to Wade. What's going on, Wade? Up, oh, where's the mic? We got him?
Am I good? There we go. How y'all doing?
All right. Doing great, man.
There we go.
Yeah.
You gave me the invite to a party. I thought,
oh, yeah, it's okay. Thursday night.
So, what have you been up to since 2014? You still trying to – did you get on the phone with Gary Kubiak this year and say, hey, Coach, I know you could use another offensive lineman?
Boy, could they.
Not at all. I officially retired 2014, like in it was earlier 2015, so it was in April. I officially announced my retirement. And that 2014 season, like after I left Philly, I had a couple teams that were hitting me up, and I was like, no, I'm good. Like I've completely moved on. I've actually put – a whole year without having to put shoulder pads on, and I don't miss it at all. And so I'm enjoying all the stuff I have going on now.
Obviously, it sounds like it was a pretty easy decision for you. But that's got to be hard for guys because how much of it, we see the injury things that add up. How much of that factor in, just your future health? I mean, you're obviously in pretty good shape leaving the game.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm 250 pounds. I was 310 pounds probably a year and a half ago, but it was easy for me to leave because I got to the point I played 12 years, enjoyed everything. I did pretty much everything you do, but, my kids are getting older and I have business ventures and I have so many different things going on in my foundation. And so it was easy for me to kind of step away. And, a lot of guys don't have that that smooth transition because, it's like football is everything and then, bam, it just stops and goes away. So, fortunate enough, I kind of set myself up to be able to transition quickly. And I don't miss the game because I'm so busy doing different things, I don't have a chance to miss it. I can just watch it and be a fan and root for guys like, Gary Kubiak and a bunch of my teammates that are with the Broncos and the coaching staff and hope they can win a Super Bowl.
Wade Smith, I guess. So tell us about some of the things you've been doing since then, obviously, because you sound like keeping pretty busy.
Yeah. Actually, this weekend we're doing Reading with the Pros, which is a literacy outreach program that we do with my foundation. And last year we did it at the Super Bowl and we had Jordan Sparks there and Chrisette Michelle and Brandon Marshall, who's with the Broncos now, so he can't do it this year. But it's just an outreach program where we bring a bunch of athletes and celebrities together and, preach the importance of literacy to kids at elementary school level. And so we're doing that Friday at Reading Elementary. We're actually in the process of doing my children's book, Smitty Hits the Playbook, and so that's coming out April 22nd, 23rd. That's my foundation weekend that I do every year in Dallas. That's the city where I'm from, and so we do a big weekend there, do a free football and cheer camp, and we're doing a fundraiser at Top Golf this year, and at the same time, we're going to be unveiling this book when we do Reading with the Pros at the elementary schools in the neighborhood that I grew up in Dallas.
Wade Smith, our guest, and How much has it been for you today kind of walking around and seeing some of your former guys you played with and any of those? You see those relationships. We see it with Sean Salisbury, man. Everybody just loves Sean from his playing days. You starting to see a little bit of that, run into guys that you already miss?
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like I was actually having lunch at, I guess it was John's Grill or something like that with some of my business partners, and walks in Sam Madison. And Sam Madison's like a big brother to me. When I was drafted with the Dolphins, he was, six, 7 year pro. Been to a couple of Pro Bowls at that time, and really good guy, great teammate. And so I ran into him and got a chance to talk to him. So I'm gonna go, hang out with him a little bit after this. But airport, run into Dante Wesley. He did the he used to play for the Panthers, and ran into him. And you just see a bunch of guys around that. NFL is a big fraternity, and so it's always good to come here to Super Bowl week and be part of those festivities.
How do you see this game going Sunday? We were talking a little bit about it off air, but I think you have two pretty strong opinions on which way you think the game could go. Why don't you share that with the
people? Yeah, I pretty much think that the Panthers are either going to blow out the Broncos or the Broncos are going to win a close game. I think just the way the teams are made up, both of them have really good defenses. Cam Newton, it's going to really fall on his shoulders. If he regresses at all and turns the ball over, I think that's going to, you know, it's going to lend itself to be a Broncos close win. But if he plays the way he's capable of playing, matched with that defense that they have, it's going to be really tough for Denver to score a lot of points. And so I could see it going that way. You know, I'm actually pulling for the Broncos. A bunch of my old teammates and a bunch of my old coaching staffs that I really went through a lot of battles with and love those guys. I'm really hoping that they can pull out a close win.
Who's a guy that plays your position now that you look at and say that guy plays guard the way it should be played in the NFL?
That's a good question.
Xavier Suofilo.
he's getting there, man. He's getting there. I like Xavier. I like Brandon Brooks. I'm trying to think of some guards. The guard from the Ravens. I can't pronounce his name. Kamichi. He plays left guard, number 72.
I know who you're talking about, too. I can't say that name either. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Pronounce his name, but really, like, I like the way he plays again. Really aggressive, gets after people, and runs kind of the same scheme that ran while I was here in Houston. And so, I like his game. Marshall Yander is still out there at Baltimore playing the game the right way. You like the guys that are guard that are aggressive, that will get after people and don't care. You know, kind of like what anyone says is all about getting the job done. And, you know, those are two guys that I really like watching.
Is this the line that Kubiak has there in Denver? Is that the kind of line he wants? Do you think he's got that thing where he wants it yet, or is that something that will take a couple of years to get the type of personnel he needs to run that line the way he wants it to be run?
I think he's had some better lines over his career, so he's going to definitely try to, you know, improve it. I think that they've gotten better as the year's gone along. I like how Ryan Harris is playing and progressed. You know, he was a guy that started out in Denver and started and had a back injury, and he went around a few places and came to Houston. And, you know, to see him being a starter out there and doing well, I'm really happy for him. Evan Mathis is out there playing left guard, and he's kind of getting used to the whole zone scheme, which is different than what he was doing out in Philly. We were teammates in Philly, so... I think that they're improving on their line, and it's going to be critical for them to run the ball against Carolina if they want to get a win.
It's funny, you know, with Andre Johnson being gone now and Arian Foster likely not to return. I mean, it's Dwayne Brown and a bunch of other guys that you probably didn't play with for the most part that are going to look – that's what that Texans offense is going to look like going forward. I mean, are you surprised that they've had so much turnover in the short time since you've been gone?
Not at all. I mean, that is the name of the game. Once you change regimes and you – you know, there's a natural turnover in the NFL anyway.
Right.
But then when you change coaching staffs and completely change a lot of the thought process and the philosophies that go into picking players, you know, I expect it to be that way. And so, but there are a good handful of guys that were there when I was there. But, yeah, that's something to be expected. You go from, you know, Kubiak to O'Brien, it's going to be night and day.
All right, that's Wade Smith. And Smitty hits the playbooks. When's it come out again?
It comes out the weekend of April 22nd. You can go to brightskypress.com to purchase that book. And you can also follow me on all my social medias at Smitty74 all day.
All right. Wade, appreciate the time, man.
All right, thanks, you guys.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. It is A.J. Hoffman and Fred Fowler here at Radio Row, San Francisco.
From Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back here in San Francisco, Radio Row. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman. And, you know, I one of my favorite things is, you know, we'll start talking draft here pretty soon because they'll start breaking guys down. And you'll start hearing some of these draft experts show up that, you know, sometimes you hear the name and you go, who the hell is this guy? And there's one guy that everybody always misses on people. I mean, it's just impossible. And then a lot of guys hit on some folks that they were guessing on. But I think my favorite is that, in a bad way for missing, is Nolan Naraki. And because he's had some pretty substantial misses. This is one of my favorite. 2011, says this quarterback has a track record as a non-dependable, non-trustworthy, fake rah-rah leader at a very key leadership position. He could really struggle to win a locker room. He projects as a top 15 pick in this year's draft, but he's still very much a project. In 5 years, don't be surprised if he is looking for another job.
He's talking about Cameron Newton.
He is talking about Cameron Newton.
Yeah.
And then it gets even – he goes even harder here.
But, I mean, you could see – and I'll be honest, I'm not going to clown on the guy because I felt the same way. I got a lot of the fake rah-rah thing from Cam Newton early on too. And the reason why it doesn't seem fake now is because he's winning. You know what I mean? When you're that rah-rah guy and your team's losing – it seems like a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
But now it seems very authentic now that they're winning.
I think if Marty Herney takes Cam Newton, he's setting himself up for a similar legacy to Bobby Beathard, the GM who drafted Ryan Leaf. I think in 3 years he's going to be out on the streets and Cam Newton is going to be a mediocre NFL quarterback. And he also said, well, most concerning is that he cheated academically for one. He's stolen on more than one occasion. He's also lied. So he has some serious concerns there. In the words of one general manager I talked to last night, he's a narcissistic con artist. So, okay. he did have similar assessments of Geno Smith and Johnny Manziel, so you got to give him credit for that.
Right.
But he missed on that one a little bit. But, again, though, I think it just goes to show some of the stuff I think were fair concerns at the time. And you know what? Turned out not to matter. He's not bad, and he's on track to have one of the most memorable seasons for a quarterback in a long, long time. Apparently, there was some kind of Ken Stabler thing going on in one of our updates. I have no idea what was happening with that.
I don't know either. I did hear that. I mean, I guess Ken Stabler is going to be put in the Hall of Fame posthumously, which I think is pissing off the lottie. I think that's what it is.
Okay. Well, that explains it. Well, and Hall of Fame announcements, of course, will come this weekend as well. So there's just a whole lot of stuff going on here in San Francisco. And, yeah, I really would be curious to see – because when we came in, we went to the stadium because we flew into Oakland. That place is just – they've got to do something there. There's no way that an NFL team should be playing in that stadium.
Or a Major League Baseball team, for that matter.
No.
But it's really like the stadium itself is a dump. It's a giant pile of concrete. But I mean the neighborhood around it. I mean there's nothing. And to be fair, from what we've seen of Oakland, which it's not like we've gone exploring, but what we did see of Oakland doesn't look like there's a lot going on in that town. Like I don't know if there's a spot in Oakland you could put a stadium where.
There's not a lot of room there.
Yeah.
And there's...
It's a very industrial, very... I mean, it almost looks like it's something you pulled out of the Midwest and put into, the Bay Area, which it seems strange. And the differences between San Francisco and Oakland are just striking. I mean, it's really two completely different worlds.
It is. And yet they're so close to each other. I mean, it's basically just a... getting over the bay, and you can go from one to the other. And I find that fascinating. But now maybe the Raiders wind up back in L.A. The whole Las Vegas thing has come up. I'm sure that when Goodell has his State of the NFL address, I'm sure those things will be discussed. But that'll be on Fridays, I think, when they usually do that. But, you see that. And, I mean, I still see Raiders – gear everywhere, not just here, just over in San Francisco. And, I mean, that's a team that has a lot of appeal throughout California. So I think if they stay in the state somewhere south, they're still going to have a big following. But it is kind of a very strange sight when you go through there and you see that stadium and you just go, gosh, just what a pigsty.
Yep.
And then right next door, you've got the Warriors just winning everything they can get their hands on. Okay, if you want to get in touch with the show, Twitter is the best way to do it, at Fred Faur, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. You can also hit us up on our text line, 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to text us. We'll be happy to take a look at that if you want to get in touch with us. And hopefully everybody back in Houston to join the show. Hopefully if you're listening on one of our many affiliates today, hope you're enjoying it as well. We have a thing that we usually do that I want to. I'm going to do it next segment, although officially it doesn't exist because we're not really doing the show from our through our studio and through our station. We have a thing called the Gym of the Day that we do. I have one that I want to do.
Okay.
Even though we don't really have it and we don't have the music for it and we can't really call it that. But I have a gym I want to do.
Okay.
And it pertains to flying.
Okay. Like airplane flying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which, actually, for once, usually we have one disaster per trip for one of us. This actually went pretty smooth except for the guy who never shut up sitting next to you and the little kid.
Right. I spent most of my flight handing toys and shoes that the little kid was throwing at me, handing them back to his mom. And then I started to think, I should just stockpile all of these and, you know, give them to her at the end so the kid can't continue to throw stuff at me. But mom didn't seem to care. But it was okay. I had a row to myself. I won't complain, even though, like you said, the guy next to me did not shut up the entire flight.
Loud, dude, too.
It was unbelievable how he just didn't run out of things to say. And mostly talking about himself and what a how great he is. So it was very interesting. I don't know if he was trying to sleep with that guy, but if he was.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think he was trying.
He laid the groundwork.
Yeah, I'm sure he did more than that. But that was the beauty of it. I just put on headphones and never listened to him because I was a couple rows behind him. But it was actually, it's a long flight, but you know, if you're going to the West Coast, it's always going to be a long flight, especially when you're getting that far north. And you know, but, hey, it was enjoyable, and it was great to be here. And we had a fun first day in the city, and hopefully we'll have a couple more here, and hopefully we'll have a lot of great shows for you over the next couple days, not just here, but Sean and Steve on with Prime Cut before us, and we've got more even after the show tonight at 5 o'clock. So a lot of good shows and a lot of good interviews, and hopefully somewhere in there we'll have you a Super Bowl winner.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure we'll have R.J. Bell on with us on Friday, as we always do, which would be great. And for those of you who are listening on the network, if you've never heard RJ, he is really, in my opinion, the best in the business when it comes to gambling. So we'll break down the gambling for you. And the other thing we will do, speaking of gambling, there's some really weird prop bets out there that I'd kind of like to go over at some point next hour, depending on how the guests go.
All right.
Because we've got, we definitely have Terrence Williams scheduled, which should be interesting. And other than that, we're pretty wide open, so we should have a couple segments to get to that and try to break down a little bit of whether or not there's any value in some of these weird prop bets, which I don't do too many of those.
I don't either.
Because I focus
on... But it's fun to talk about.
It is. And for those of you who are not familiar with us, we co-authored an audio book on sports betting, so we're more traditional sports bettors, but which you can get it. Gal Media Publishing, by the way.
There you go.
It's highly recommended you check it out. It's only $12.99, and it's got everything you ever need to know to be a terrific gambler. But I don't really mess with prop bets, but I do think they're fun to kind of go over. All righty. We are going to take a very short break. When we come back, we'll have a flight story for you that didn't involve us, which hopefully you will find entertaining. And next hour, Terrence Williams. And a lot more to go, so don't go anywhere. We're here for another hour and 19 minutes. It's Fred Power, A.J. Hoffman.
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Power and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back. Fred Power, A.J. Hoffman, here at Radio Row, San Francisco. And if we get any more guests, we'll certainly throw them on. But we do know Terrence Williams scheduled to join us at the top of the hour, which will be 4 o'clock out here in beautiful San Francisco, where we're broadcasting live. And other than that, we're pretty wide open. So we may just grab someone. We may just see how it goes. But usually this time of day, we do a little thing on our show called the Gym of the Day, mostly because people love the jingle that you do.
Thank you.
But we're not going to do the jingle because we're not really set up to do it.
Okay.
But usually it's just a story that is off the beaten path a little bit. It doesn't necessarily, you know, something entertaining. But, well, we'll get to that. We'll do it later because
we've
got Greg Cosell is here from the NFL Network and
NFL Films.
NFL Films. Mr. Draft. I mean, this guy watches film of everybody and knows it as well as anybody. Greg Cosell joins us. How are you, sir?
Gentlemen, good to be with you guys.
Good to chat with you again. What are you doing Super Bowl week? Just kind of going around making the rounds? Are you working? Tell me what all you got going on.
Well, I'm always at the Super Bowl because I actually created with Steve Sabol and executive produced the NFL matchup show with Sal Palantonio, Merrill Hodge, and Ron Jaworski. And we always shoot the Super Bowl show on site. So we'll shoot that on Saturday. So I'm here, you know, doing prep for that. And that's my main goal. But, you know, I walk around Radio Row and hopefully people who, you know, want to hear my brand of BS ask me to come on the radio.
There you go.
Well, we like your brand of BS. So one of the things I want to ask you about, because the Houston Texans desperate for a quarterback, and I know you I know you have some thoughts on this, and we're based out of Houston, but what do they need to do at that position? Where would, if I make you GM tomorrow, what do you do in the offseason?
Well, the first thing you have to do, obviously, is evaluate this crop of quarterbacks coming out. I don't know how Coach O'Brien feels about Tom Savage. He was not a high pick, so the pedigree isn't necessarily there. He's skilled. He has an NFL arm. And when I watched him last year, I thought he had a chance to be an NFL starter at some point. But, again, he was hurt. I don't know how he's advanced in the program and in Bill O'Brien's offense. I don't know how O'Brien sees him. But I think you have to look hard at this crop of quarterbacks. This is a solid football team that needs a quality NFL starter. And I think if they get one, they're a team. Look, they made the playoffs this year without arguably a quality NFL starter. So that's what they need.
Talk about Cam Newton a little bit and his transformation. Over the last couple of years, just the year he's had this year, did you expect him to be this good and really at this stage of his career?
Well, based on last year, no, I did not. And I think he's improved dramatically in a couple of really important areas. One, he's now really good before the snap of the ball, and that's the next level for NFL quarterbacks. You have to be able to control the game at the line of scrimmage before the snap of the ball. He's really advanced in that area. And I think another area in which he's greatly improved is his ability to manipulate the secondary with his eyes, with his head, with shoulder fakes. Because people may not think of him this way and may not think about Carolina this way, but they're really an intermediate and downfield passing team. Their pass offense is really a derivative of the Don Coryell pass offense. So this is a downfield passing team. And if you're going to throw the ball down the field, then your quarterback has to be able to manipulate the secondary, particularly safeties. And Cam has improved in that area as well dramatically this season.
Will he be able to do that against that Denver defense?
Well, you know, that raises a fascinating question about how Denver's going to play, because Denver's played a lot of man coverage this year. Now, I think that's the coverage they feel is their real staple. You know, we can line up and play man. Will they do that against Cam? Because when you play man, as you know, unless you're going to spy him, unless you're going to sacrifice your rush a little bit, if you play man and have defenders turn their back, Cam can run for first downs too. Now, the one thing that is interesting about Cam, and he's had a very, very good season, he's not been great, and the offense has not been great on third down. But the thing is, they don't get into a ton of third and longs because their run game is so good.
Greg Cosell, our guest. I want to get back to your NFL matchup a little bit. What's it like working with those guys in particular? I think Giles is a really, really sharp football mind. In particular, what's it like putting that show together with those guys in particular?
Oh, it's great fun because, you know, we have a staff too that I work with every week, and I've been doing it for a long time. But we have a staff of guys who played, who coached, who scouted, and when you work with guys who really know football and know how to study tape, it's really the fun part of the game because we sit there and we just talk football, we watch tape, and you really delve into the real X's and O's of the game. And Jaws and Merrill Hodge are they're just great to work with. They're two genuine guys. They love what they do. They love studying the game because it's a study show. If you're going to be on that show as talent, you've got to study the game, and those guys do.
All right, that's Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Greg, really appreciate the time. Always enjoy talking to you and getting your insight in the NFL. And enjoy the rest of your week and have some fun out here, man.
I hope to. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. That's going to wrap up hour number three for us. We've got one more to go, and we'll have a couple more guests, and I will get to that gym of the day I promised you when we return.
All right.
At some point next hour.
I'm looking forward to it.
And at some point next hour, I will get to the airplane story.
Okay.
I'll get to the airplane story, and I will get to the prop bets.
Random UFC announcement. The April is the rematch. Daniel Cormier, John Jones. So the return of John Jones will be in April.
All right. Dana could have told us that today.
He could have. I don't know why he didn't.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this guy?
All right. We'll be right back. It's Rush Hour, AJ Hoffman.
ESPN 97.5.